Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Hello and welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. My name is Lauren Monroe. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Moon Calhoun, everyone.
Hello.
And yes, we are missing someone tonight.
Brother Rick.
We are missing Brother Rick.
Where is he?
He's on the road, so he won't be able to join us, but we do have a great interview lined up for everybody. We'll be talking with Karen Simonton about healthy thinking and resiliency. Now, Karen is the ex-director. She is also of the Simonton Cancer Center. She's also a psychology and social work professional that's been involved with the work of the Simonton Cancer Center for over 20 years. And what her and her husband did was build a program, the first of its kind, really, to address the mind-body medicine for cancer patients. And it's an amazing program that people go through when they're in crisis dealing with their illness that helps them build and find resiliency in that journey for them, whatever that may be. So healthy thinking is such a huge piece of it, and I think it applies to everything that we do in life. I mean, just having healthy thinking can keep us in a flow and keep us strong no matter what situation we're facing. You know, how do you find that, Mr. Moon?
Well, it's the very center of getting on with whatever you're dealing with. It's the key, the attitude mm-hmm. to healing, peace of mind, finding joy in life, overcoming misery. Letting go of the past, stop projecting in the future, and learning to be in the now. And our power is in the moment, the present moment.
That's
I'm
right.
learning, so healthy thinking is in that moment. So.
And it's so easy to go into that negative spiral.
Yes.
You know, when you get into those negative thought patterns, you start spiraling down and down, and it's hard to get out of it.
We're not conscious of it often. So
no, it's such an unconscious thing.
Yeah, it's learning to be more awake in the moment.
I think so.
Yeah.
And our thoughts just, you know, energy follows intention.
Yes.
So if we're looking in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
everything else is going to follow that.
That's true. Yeah.
And so it's a practice.
It's a practice. Definitely mm-hmm. a practice.
So let's get Karen on the line. Everyone, we'll be right back with Karen Simonton.
All right.
We're back with the lovely Karen Simonton from the Simonton Cancer Center. And we're happy to have you here, Karen.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
So we have a background with Karen. I'm so excited to share this interview with everyone because Rick and I met you and Carl such a long time ago, it seems. Can you just share with everyone how our history and who you are and how and the kind of work that you're doing?
Certainly. Well, our program actually began for reasons of compliance with cancer patients. Dr. Simonton was a radiation oncologist, and he wasn't getting the results that he desired with his radiation therapy and started investigating why this was. And through training and research in different modalities, he came up with a program for his own radiation patients in which he was obtaining much better results and outcomes, and thus created the Simonton Cancer Center, which was open to patients and participants that weren't necessarily his radiation, that weren't necessarily his patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so this organization has been around for approximately 40 years, and we look at the emotional and psychological issues around disease and health. And the program is basically, for lack of a better term, I'd say an emotional intervention and support program,
mm-hmm.
where we're looking at concepts of beliefs and feelings and attitudes and lifestyles, which are all important factors affecting health. And then we look at these tools and techniques that he designed and that we teach people in order for them to get the best possible outcome with whatever treatment they're using, whether that be a completely natural modality or the traditional Western chemotherapy, surgery, and mm-hmm. radiation.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the many things that we look at are in getting well have to do with our belief system and imagery. There are many more components of the program that we do, but I'd say the imagery and the belief work are the cornerstones. And part of how we use imagery is it's very varied. One of the practices that we've used have been drumming circles in the past, and they were wonderful for many, many reasons. And then we stopped doing them for many years. And I personally remember seeing an article in a paper several years ago now, Lauren. I think it must be five. Yeah, I was going to say 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article about you're doing the drumming circles for the community and then for veterans, and was very much intrigued and gave you all a call, and you were kind enough to come to our sessions and do drumming circles for our participants in the program. And it's something that we value tremendously, and the patients get so much out of. It's been a wonderful experience for us to have you all with us.
For us too. And I know from being up there, one of the locations that they have the retreats is in Santa Barbara, and it's a lovely setting. And every time we go in and do the drumming work, the energy in the room and people are processing so much. It's very open and deep, and people are really there experiencing so many things about themselves. It's a wonderful program. I love it. I'm so glad to have you here talking about healthy thinking and how that applies to healing and the whole journey of it.
Well, one of the things that I find very fascinating about our program and bringing in this type of work is this is a very practical model, and we're dealing with, in general, middle America. And by that I mean we're not necessarily bringing in people that are have a particular elevated consciousness or that are in the New Age process. These are, you know, just people who are looking at what is the missing link here for me to get well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always a treat for me to see the expansion of the consciousness that goes on during this whole program,
mm-hmm.
including the work of the drumming circle. It's a pretty amazing process.
Do you find that the visualization work and the idea of belief systems is new to many people when they come in?
Yes, absolutely. I think that we still hold this belief that cancer is caused by external factors primarily. And we know that, you know, we believe that cancer is caused by carcinogenic substances or by our genes or radiation, and now even we're looking at diet. But we also know that in reality not one of those elements alone is a sufficient explanation for who's going to get cancer and who doesn't. So the people that come to us, I would say, in general, tend to be well-educated, and they've explored other options on their own, and they're aware that there's something here, something very important to be looked at. And so we're helping them with the imagery work and the belief work to help improve the immune system and other healing systems in their body. And a lot of people that come to us have a little bit of confusion both about cancer and about how the immune system functions. And so one of the things that we talk about even before they're coming to the session and in their readings is that, in general, cancer is a weak and confused and deformed cell that is usually easily eliminated by the body, and that we frequently have cancer cells floating around within our body that our immune system will recognize and eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at our immune system, it's composed of several different kinds of cells that are designed to attack and destroy foreign substances. So if you cut yourself, you heal readily, assuming you're healthy, and you don't think much about it. Anytime you see, for example, pus gathering around a cut, it's a reminder of the immune system at work. Pus is nothing more than, you know, white blood cells that are going to the site to isolate and destroy the infection.
Wow. Right.
So the self-healing process takes place constantly on all levels of the body. There's examples in the book Getting Well Again of people that have come in with chest x-rays that have revealed that at some point in time they've had mild cases of tuberculosis. And this was all without the patient being aware that they'd ever had the disease in the first place, because their body's defenses had fought back and destroyed the disease before they were symptomatic.
Right.
So it's the same way the body works with cancerous cells on a routine basis. And it's so strong, in fact, that, you know, this is the reason why we have issues with problems with transplanting organs. Because anything that's foreign or abnormal is so recognized by the immune system that it wants to remove it.
Right. Yeah.
And so then it's necessary, of course, if you're in the hospital for this transplant, to receive drugs and be kept in isolation so that your immune system is suppressed and confused. So it's not going to recognize that you have someone else's kidney or liver in your body.
And won't reject it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. So what we do is we're looking at the cornerstones of the program are on healthy thinking, our belief system, and our imagery. And it's all kind of interwoven. It's a little bit hard to separate, because when we talk about belief systems, you'll automatically create an image in your mind. And it may not be a visual image. It may be something that you feel or sense or smell or hear. But there's always some kind of image that occurs with our thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Carrie, could you walk us through, speaking of that, walk us through the concept of healthy thinking and how this can apply to everyone every day on an everyday basis?
Yes. Well, there's a difference here between healthy thinking and positive thinking. Positive thinking is certainly healthier than negative thinking, but it's not the same thing, and we need to be very clear about that. The problem with positive thinking is that it doesn't necessarily align itself with the facts of nature or the facts of real life. And so as we're attempting to be in harmony with nature, it's important for us to develop beliefs that are factual.
Wow, yeah. That's right.
Right.
It gives it more credibility, too, in your own mind. You know that it's not just a positive thought. It's actually aligned with something that's real and true.
Right.
Absolutely. So we use Dr. Maxie Maltsby's five rules of what we call emotional competency. And the basis of it is that we're not upset by things, but by the view we take of them. And so we all recognize when we're talking about things that are distressful, that there's an activating event and your perception of it. It's what you see or hear or feel, and your thoughts about what you think's going on, and your emotional reaction to that. So it's important to identify if your belief system or your thoughts are healthy or unhealthy. And we do this by asking five specific questions. And the first one is, are the thoughts or the beliefs based on fact? The second one is, do your thoughts or beliefs help to protect your life and your health? The third one would be, do your thoughts and beliefs help you reach your short and long-term goals? The fourth is, do your thoughts and beliefs help you avoid your most undesirable conflicts? Do your thoughts and beliefs make you feel the way you want to feel? So those are the five. And if you answer no to any three of these questions, then we believe your thought or belief is considered unhealthy and needs to be changed. Now, the changing of the belief isn't a simple matter. It takes hard work and practice. As you know, it's like developing any sort of habit. But we feel it's important to remember to feel better. It's necessary to think better.
Right.
And there are, is a lot of scientific evidence on this now, that as we have these thoughts which create images in our mind, according to, I think some of the most exciting work has been by Candace Pert in Molecules of Emotion, we're actually driving a new pathway within the brain. So to make it, to kind of simplify it, it's like, you know, our beliefs generate the possibilities that we see. And because we live out our beliefs, we're always right. And so it's really important that we pay attention to this. So we ourselves, usually unconsciously, are selecting and filtering and registering our beliefs so that they become our truth. And then they become our self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And they also, it's important to remember that, you know, the beliefs that we create, they can help create or foreclose possibilities that we have. And they influence how we perform, how we heal, and whether or not we're going to achieve our goals.
So just like a positive, healthy thought can be the results, can give us results of being healthy and well, a negative thought can also do the opposite. You know, the dark image and the light image, they both are very strong
and
powerful.
Yes, and they're grounded in how we ask people, how do you feel when you think this thought? Pay attention to that. If it doesn't make you feel good, it more than likely is an unhealthy belief. And you'd be surprised at how many people, one of the things that we do in our exercise and around belief work is we ask people to verbally state, it's a sentence that we use that says, I will do what I need to do, what I need and understand to do to get well.
Right.
I will do what I need and understand to do to get well. You would be very surprised at how many people have difficulty with this.
Wow.
That's enormous, though. Really, I you know what, I'm not surprised because it's so, you know, we all know what we the good thing to eat and what the bad thing to eat is. And it seems like a no-brainer. Well, I want to have the apple instead of the cheesecake. But when you put the apple and cheesecake in front of you and you want and you go to choose,
right?
We all want the cheesecake.
Of course.
So it's it is a matter of practice and discipline, and it's very difficult.
And it's even deeper than this, because what most people don't understand around a serious diagnosis is that there can be ambivalence. Ambivalence in getting well. Do you have a reason for getting well? Obviously, there's a reason for getting sick.
Right.
So it's really important to tap into that and have that person recognize, okay, are they going to get on board with what they understand to get well. And we understand that it is not the same for everyone. It's a very individual, personal journey. What helps one person doesn't necessarily help another.
Right.
And so, but but they need to be aligned with that. And we've just discovered that even people that are coming to us who are already open and willing to do this work, when confronted with this sentence, it really taps into their own ambivalence about being alive.
Yeah.
And that is very critical. And I believe that, you know, it's not a question of these people, these patients wanting, or any patient wanting to die. It's a question of, it's more that they don't want to live the life that they're living.
Right.
Right.
So the they're aligned with their suffering even before they were ill.
And there's reasons for that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that has to do with unmet needs, what we call secondary gains. When you're sick, certain things arise for you that maybe you're not getting in life in general. People tend to be kinder. They're checking on you. They're more loving. They do things for you. And we call these things secondary gains.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to be very aware that these are the benefits of illness. And so we look at, okay, well, how do we get these benefits without being sick?
Huh. Right. Right.
And so we know around belief system and the imagery work that, you know, I think unless there's been new scientific evidence, I think there's 11 systems within the body, and that two have very ingrained memory, the nervous system and the immune system. So by telling yourself basically a new story that involves your body, you're inscribing new text for these two systems, and it will benefit your whole system. And after a while, you've paved these new roads. Because it's very easy for us to go back to our old belief system. We know it, even though it might not be comfortable, it's familiar.
Yeah.
So it's work at basically creating new pathways. And we know, as I mentioned around the Candace Pert work, we know that now there's evidence of cellular memory, that all of our cells communicate with each other. And this just opens up a whole new area. What we're going to do with the information, I don't know. I've been very disappointed that we haven't done more with it. But the evidence is clearly out there that shows how we already know the negative aspects of imagery and belief work, because that's really hugely documented in stress and illness research. So doesn't it make sense that we could also get the benefit of this healthier thinking on our health, mm-hmm. if we make these changes?
So you kind of going back a little bit, you were saying there's maybe kind of a fear sometimes with people about getting well, actually a fear of getting better maybe, or is it just...
Sure, absolutely. I think that there's more an ambivalence, that people haven't made that decision.
Yeah, I see.
You know, but there absolutely is some anxiety around that. I know, for example, that there are many patients that developed their disease and then were fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, to get on disability, which allowed them to quit the job that they hated.
Wow.
And they're aware that if they get better, they're going to have to return to this job.
Wow.
You know, there's lots of instances like this. And, of course, you have to be, you know, pretty self-aware to recognize that. But our group of individuals usually is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is fantastic information for everybody at home and for us. You know, just knowing the difference between healthy thinking and positive thinking is a completely new awareness, I think, for most of us. And how to gather that information for yourself. Those steps that you were talking about, those questions, those five steps, I believe are they on your website, Karen?
I don't think that's on our website. What is on our website is the 10 tenets, which basically describe the philosophy of the work that we do. Now that is on there, and I'm hopeful that we will get the the section that's on you and your emotions that we use in our workbook on the on our website, but that hasn't happened at this time.
And that's SimonsonCancerCenter.org, right?
It's .org or .com or .net. Most people actually still use .com,
right.
Although you know we are a charitable trust, so we are a .org organization.
And the book you mentioned earlier too, with the that was Getting Well.
Yes, we have two books. One's called Getting Well Again, and it's basically considered kind of the Bible of psychoneuroimmunology. It was the first book that came out addressing these sorts of issues, and it's still a bestseller, and that's Getting Well Again, and it's by Dr. O. Carl Simonton. We have another book called The Healing Journey by Carl Simonton, and The Healing Journey basically walks you through what our retreat week in Santa Barbara is like, and then there are letters. This book was written with a patient, and this patient has written letters about their journey, and it's also included in that book. But there's lots of really wonderful other information that people can get on imagery. Marty Rothman has wonderful work. I'd recommend the Guided Imagery for Self-Healing if anyone's interested in specifically imagery work.
Great.
There's a lot of good stuff out there.
That's wonderful. You know, and I do believe that the steps that you walked us through, Karen, are on the Raven Drum Foundation website. So it's ravendrumfoundation.org for those of you who want to reflect over what Karen mentioned earlier. This has been wonderful. I'm just so happy to have you on the show, Karen.
Well, thank you so much. I do want to tell people, as they look at these questions, they may be a little thrown as to, okay, well, how do I work with this after I've answered these questions? And if people are really interested in this, they are welcome to call here, and I'm more than happy to walk them through the actual physical process we do and help them with that.
And what's that number?
That number is 800-459-3424.
Thanks. That's wonderful. I hope people take advantage of this wonderful program and look into it, because it's just really valuable for all of us. So thank you, Karen, so much for joining us on Resiliency Radio today.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your interest in what we do.
All right. Take good care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back. And welcome back, everyone. Wasn't that great?
Yes.
She's amazing. That information is so valuable.
It was awesome.
I really want people to, if they have any interest in learning about visualization, to really start the research and start practicing. I think I use it all the time.
I'm going to.
You know, for so many different things.
Yeah.
Just to change that image in your mind, it really does affect your body.
And I love the part about the difference between healthy thinking and positive thinking. I'd never heard the distinction between those two.
Well, it is true, because positive thinking is an opinion.
Yeah.
Where she's talking about healthy thinking, it really aligns itself with facts.
Facts, yeah.
And just knowing how the body works,
yeah.
Especially when you're tapping into physical illness,
exactly.
is amazing. I studied with a teacher called Carolyn Mace.
Karen Mace, I love.
Isn't she great?
She's
another
so
wonderful.
Much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a powerful woman.
She talks about this boy who had a brain tumor. Do you know the story about him?
Go
and
ahead.
He was young. He was probably about 8.
Yeah.
And he has this brain tumor, and he decided to every day close his eyes and imagine that the brain tumor, was he called the planet Meatball.
Yeah.
And
right.
He sent in spaceships to attack Planet Meatball.
That's an awesome story.
And he did this every day, and he went into remission.
I love that.
The tumor was gone.
That's an awesome story.
So the power of the mind is really
imagery.
Enormous.
Yeah.
And we're just so happy to share this information with everybody at home. What we're going to do now is bring you into a visualization that's on the Raven Drum Circle CD. We work with visualization all the time with Raven Drum programs and in our community drum circles. So this section is directly from the CD, and it's called Bringing in the Light. It's a process to that you go into with your mind, and then we'll take you into a drumming experience. So if you're at home, get ready and sit in a space that's sacred to you, that's calming, and we'll lead you into this place, and then you can drum if you have an instrument with you, or you can just relax and take in the rhythm. And then after that, you'll be taken into an integration process, and you'll also be going into states of a grace visualization, and we'll be ending the evening like that.
Lovely.
If you're interested in getting a Raven Drum Circle CD, you can go to our website, ravendrumfoundation.org, and have it with you from beginning to end. This is a clip of it we wanted to share with you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want you to take advantage, if you do have the time, it'll be about 20 minutes, to follow along and let yourself be guided into a very deep and healing space with this. It's beautiful work. So we're going to end with this, and we'll be back with another Resiliency Radio show in September.
Awesome. Peace and love.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bringing in the light. Remain still and place your hands over your heart. With your mind's eye, begin to see your inner landscape, your spirit, your internal body, your heart itself, free from the heavy energy that's been released. See with your mind's eye these spaces now cleared and open, waiting to be filled with light and healing life force. Listen closely to your inner voice and ask yourself, what do I need in my life in order to have true happiness? What do I want to help me feel whole and at peace with myself and the world? What do I need to be healed? Listen to your heart, your inner voice, and at this very moment, give yourself permission to receive all you need. Know that these gifts already belong to you and are waiting to be opened. They're already yours. As we enter this next rhythm, we will be setting our intentions and bringing in their light for ourselves, for each other, for our families and communities around the world. Allow your heart to guide you and reveal radiant pictures. Embrace every image and thought as gifts to be opened. Remember, they are already yours. They have already been given to you and are waiting to be opened. Say your intentions in your mind. Whisper them out loud. Call them out. See them in front of you. See them above you. And visualize their radiant light shining within your very cells, surrounding all pain and suffering. Breathe deeply and receive.
close your eyes and be in stillness. Allow light to radiate inside of every particle of your being and be in gratitude for this moment. Love is here. Peace is here. Healing is here within our very cell tissue. We are expanding in light and in gratitude. Allow all healing intentions and radiant light energies to deepen within you. Visualize this light expanding from every cell of your being. Breathe. Open your eyes, taking all that is around you with gratitude. Be in gratitude for this very moment, and for all that you have released and received. We are now prepared for the healing phase of consciously receiving grace. Take time to slowly stretch and change your position, keeping your intention in a place of compassion and gratitude. Stay in the moment. Please move all instruments away from your physical body and place them towards the center of the circle or to the side of you. You may take this time to carefully lie down or remain in a rested seated position with your feet on the floor, or sit in a cross-legged position. Allow your hands to rest comfortably on your body or in your lap, with your palms open and facing upward. In this very moment, we welcome the grace of divine love into our hearts, flowing through us like music, like gentle water. The air is filled with the grace and intelligence of divine love. As we breathe, we are one with its kind and loving presence. We are healed by its compassion. Place your hands over your heart and begin to experience the color violet. Allow it to emerge on its own, slowly coming from above you, within you, and around you. See the different shades. Experience the color violet. taste the color violet. Inhale its smell through every cell of your being. And allow your awareness to embrace its pure and loving energy. The divine presence of grace. This presence will continue to hold you and heal you. Rest and breathe deeply. Our time together is now coming to a close. Thank you for being a part of the Raven Drum Circle and for sharing this healing experience with us. Remain in this deep, relaxed place for as long as possible and continue to receive healing. Rest deeply and know that you are